zero maybe is meaning zero.
Off, like off. 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 Like,
I don't know.
Did you pull this out?
No.
Oh.
I guess.
Where is that? Okay, we'll get started. Good afternoon and welcome to the April 10th, 2025 regular meeting of the Historic Preservation Committee. Could we please have the roll call?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, is your mic on?
Unfortunately, you have to talk this close to the microphone to get really loud, but I can trade it out for you.
Here, yeah.
You said I'd do roll call.
This one worked. I mean,
yeah, this one's much better.
There we go.
Thank you.
I liked it quiet.
Okay, Member Thomas and Chair Soriano are both absent. Member Stratton?
Present.
Member Euler?
Here.
And Vice Chair Houston?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Excellent. This is the time in the public meeting where we set aside time for people to speak on any item that's not on tonight's agenda. Is there anyone who would like to speak on an item that's not on the agenda?
I have no public comment.
Okay, thank you. We will move on to the approval of the meeting minutes. Does anybody have any comment or any edits for the last month's meeting minutes?
I'd make a motion to approve the minutes of March 13th as provided.
I second that.
Can we have a roll call?
Okay, Member Stratton?
Yes.
Member Euler?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Houston?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And our formal item, the only one tonight, is comments on the general plan historic preservation element. Is there a staff presentation?
Yes, there is. Hello. Thank you, Vice Chair Houston, Historic Preservation Committee members. For the record, my name is Maruja Clense, and I am the Assistant Director with the Community Development Department. With me is our Community Development Director, Rachel Diamond, and we are here presenting one of our elements with our pending general plan set to be released in draft form late next week. So we're really excited about this. Of course, within the draft timeframe of the public document review period, we can make additional refinements. Really, we're here today to talk to HPC after their feedback from a couple years ago, 2021, regarding our first draft of the historic element at that time, to get your overall, some minor tweaks or other recommendations that we should incorporate ahead of our draft. But just know if there's something that comes up in the future that you have the aha moment or that 11th hour discovery, we can, incorporate those changes in the draft document. So with that, next slide. So a little bit of contextual background with what is a general plan. So a general plan is a long-term policy document that guides future decisions regarding development through the city or whatever municipality the general plan is in. This new general plan will take us to 2050. Our current general plan was issued in 2005 with a term of 2025, so we're coming up right on that. Again, it enables the community to come together to develop a shared vision for the next 25, 30 years, updated every 10 to 15 years, and there, addresses everything from concerns and strengths of the community, and there are 8 required elements from the state for general plan that are listed on the screen. Land use, circulation, housing. Our housing element is actually already certified. HCD has a separate process for that, our Department of Housing and Community Development. Noise conservation, public safety, open space, and environmental justice. So a historic element, quote unquote, is not technically one of the elements that is required by the state, but conservation is. And conservation in a general term can be water, energy, but also historic resources. Early on in the process with the general plan back in 2020, we knew the importance of our historic resources here in the city, so we really wanted to make sure we captured that by way of a separate historic preservation element to, you know, underscore the value of our history, landmarks, and places. So the general plan in this case also codifies the Historic Preservation Committee's presence and significance in the city with process and procedures that go on with development. And probably the most important deliverable out of the many that will come out of the historic element implementation actions is the creation of a historic preservation ordinance. So next slide. So this is the process that we have, very high level of what the general plan is, from discovery, visioning, all these different circles had a variety of public meetings, stakeholder engagement, pop-up events, and other forms of public engagement. We are where the red arrow is, right at the final stages of drafting our general plan, and we're going to set it out for publication, and it will go through a series of open houses, study sessions with the Planning Commission and City Council before our hopeful adoption in fall of this year. Next slide. So this is how the general plan outline is. There's an intro. We talk about the process, which basically highlights a lot of the public engagement that was included, I think, as attachment B of your packet. The vision, what got us here in concert with working closely with our General Plan Advisory Committee, or a GPAC group. Then we have land use, mobility, environmental justice, parks and open space, and we see that historic preservation is there right before glossary, wedged right after arts and culture. Next slide. So the general plan contains statutory requirements, legal requirements. It looks at existing conditions while also acknowledging key considerations of those conditions, and also incorporates goals, policies, and actions under each of those areas. So a goal, as on the screen, it's a broad statement. Policy is a position statement that really has a vision to how to implement those goals. And then actions. And so with policies and actions, we're trying to use positive encouraging language, like strive to, encourage, incentivize, to lay that foundation for future implementation actions. One thing I wanted to say about this with the position statement. No, I think I'm good. Sorry, just wanted to make sure I covered everything here. Next slide. So digging into the historic element itself, our city contains 119 designated city landmarks, 12 points of interest, 5 historic districts, 2 of which are on the National Register, and 14 historic properties on the National Register. Next slide. So key considerations that we have in the front of our historic element, we have a very rich cultural and architectural history. We have robust existing preservation policies within our city municipal code. We've had done extensive historic resource studies, one of which is currently underway and being finalized with our citywide historic survey. We have a large number of recognized historic properties, either via landmark, structures of merit, or other places of significance. We have this potential conflict or relationship challenge with new development adjacent to or within or involving existing resources, and also that we needed to do additional studies, especially on the social and cultural history of Ventura, in particular our Chumash cultural heritage and resources. Next slide. So there are 4 main goals within the historic element, under which there are 6, or on average of 5 to 8 actions, or I'm sorry, policies, that then manifest in our implementation actions. So our main goal, maintain and support a comprehensive citywide historic preservation program to identify and protect Ventura's historic, cultural, and archaeological resources. Second goal is to protect historic resources from demolition and inappropriate alterations, and this was looked at with how do we do adaptive reuse or other incentivizing with our historic properties to keep them historically significant, maintain and expand our inventory of historic resources, and also foster more opportunities for educational opportunities, public awareness, and celebrate our unique history here. Next slide. So as noted earlier in the presentation, probably one of the most critical
implementation actions is going to be the update to the historic preservation ordinance. This is where we're really going to have a lot of details going into that incentivizing, the striving to help people, you know, continue preserving historic resources as we balance new development and trying to find adaptive ways to encourage reuse and like Mills Act projects. We're looking at establishing the downtown as a commercial or as a historic district. We want to prepare objective design standards for districts and buildings outside of the downtown and ADUs as it relates to historic properties. And then again, create an adaptive reuse ordinance that streamlines the reuse of historic buildings and acknowledging that, you know, keeping a historic significance might take time. So trying to find ways to expedite that, to incentivize that. Adopt a context statement. And of course, finalize the citywide resources survey that should be done at the end of the summer. And then coordinate with our local tribes to include their history in the historic preservation ordinance. And again, create an incentives to preserve historic buildings. So as noted in attachment C of your report, we included comments from the April 22nd, 2021 meeting from your meeting minutes and went line by line to provide a response to that comment and then applicable policies, goals, or implementation actions either in the historic element itself or elsewhere in the general plan as there's a lot of overlap in some areas. So the comments were primarily focused on the overall process. Feedback was what was potentially missing at that time when the HPC reviewed a list of historical assets. Feedback on possible challenges with historic resource preservation, and actually, you know, looked at how the HPC defined what is a successful process of updating a general plan. So again, those meeting minutes are in attachment C, along with responses and applicable implementation actions, policies, or goals that recognize that feedback. So next steps in the process, again, we have our draft document coming out, hopefully at the end of next week. We're gonna open a large general plan public comment period for a couple months. The city council will be looking at the general plan for three consecutive days, May 13th, 14th, and 15th. These are study sessions. The actual adoption of the general plan will happen hopefully in the fall. Planning Commission is also doing study sessions in April and May. We have a big open house May 1st for the general plan and another open house when our environmental document is released that accompanies the general plan that's gonna be July 18th. And then we also have hearings related to the environmental impact report and again, eventual adoption of the general plan and certification of that environmental document in fall of this year. So discussion questions for HPC. Are all the topic areas that you had envisioned or as replicated in the minutes covered? Are there any goals or policies or actions missing or that could be expanded? And should anything be revised or removed or otherwise refined? So with that, that concludes my presentation, and myself and Director Diamond are here for any questions. Thank you.
Okay.
Do we have questions for the staff?
Yes. According to state planning law, the draft general plan would have a 30-day review period, typically. Is that what is envisioned for this this process also, or are you looking at an additional time frame?
We're looking at an additional time frame to make sure that all the community has an opportunity to really provide feedback. I think we're looking at 45 days.
So the 45-day requirement is actually for the EIR, which
right.
will be released right. following the release of the plan. So what we intend to do is overlap those two review periods. So the review time frame for the general plan itself will likely be like 75 days, and then we'll have a minimum of the last 45 of those being for the EIR, but even that will likely extend to 60. It's never quite enough time, and the reality is that we have that time to utilize to you know, continue to work with boards, commissions, and groups in the community to make sure it's in front of everyone, that they can see it and comment.
I just want to comment. The chapter on historic preservation, I felt, was very expansive. And it traced the evolution of the city's history from way back to the Chumash tribe up to today. And I thought that was a great overview of the city, and I want to compliment you for that. The other thing I wanted to ask in terms of, I reviewed the goals, and one of the things that I didn't see, and tell me if I'm wrong, in this day of potentially reduced funding, and a way to sustain historic preservation over the long term, I was thinking if there is a way, a mechanism that we can use to provide some type of grant acquisition or other funding that we can use as a means to sustain the historic preservation objectives and goals that we're thinking about, as well as maybe soliciting additional cooperation from the community, corporations, to help us with this effort over the long haul. I have a feeling with the situation as we face the economy nationwide, there's going to be a severe restriction on a lot of things which we might want to be able to do. So I think we have to think outside the box how we're going to approach sustaining our cherished historic preservation program over the long term, and I would appreciate any ideas you might have at looking at additional funding.
Thank you for that feedback. I think that's a really a good observation, and one that we have witnessed people who do have historic properties, you know, it's very costly to maintain them and keep them with period correct materials, period correct design, and construction methodology. So I think our goals, in particular, I'm looking at goal HP2, kind of touches on what you're thinking and where we can look at ways to incentivize keeping our historic preservation review fees lower, trying to encourage Mills Act landmarking with a lower application fee. And I think embedded within that, we can definitely explore other funding, you know, pots, buckets, grant funding to help educate, help incentivize, and just overall encourage people to look at retaining their historic significance. So as much as we can do in our local level by keeping those process and procedures more cost affordable and as expeditious as possible, we're definitely cognizant of that. And also any kind of particular mechanisms or other methodologies by way of additional funding we can look at with the Historic Preservation Ordinance and try and find actual tools and mechanisms based on, you know, each historic district per se, that we can hopefully bring more of those historic resources to their true beauty and keep them around for even longer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you have any questions?
No, we don't.
I just want to ascertain what you'd like from us at this point. I mean, I made a few comments, and I don't know if you want to hear them all, or do you want us, what do you prefer for us to just write them?
Well, we'd love to hear your comments. You know, if you want to go one by one, get your general feedback. You know, we're really wanting to make sure we hit the mark. If there is, you know, everything from, you know, I think this area of town deserves, there's a building here that I think is missing, or a step or an idea, we can definitely take a look at implementing that. But just your general takeaways, Euler is the last name. You know, his acknowledgement of the Chumash history was valuable to us. We felt that, I particularly felt it was a very educational read, and I really liked having it. And we're going to be looking at incorporating, you know, that acknowledgement where applicable through the general plan and keeping that educational aspect going. So stuff like that, other topics or areas. The Ventura Harbor was something that was brought up in April 2021. You know, that may not be living directly in the historic element, but it is looked at in the land use element and in our economic development element to keep that as a valuable place and of significance to the city and its citizens. So any ideas that they don't fit in this box of historic, you know, preservation, we can talk about where they are currently in the draft document or how they could be implemented.
Okay. And actually, I was really happy to see that there is going to be a historic preservation element, and I know that it's an optional one. And I thought this one was really well put together. Did HRG write it, or how did it come about?
So it was a team effort. HRG did the first draft, is my understanding, and then Ramey and Associates with their team, which is pretty expansive, took another review of it and did refine a substantial portion of it. So it was started by HRG, but finalized by our Ramey general plan consultant team.
Okay. Are there any other questions for staff?
No.
Okay, I will close this portion of the meeting. Do we have any public comments? Well, we get to ask for public comments first.
Okay. I was waiting for your comments.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I've received no public comment cards.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody want to start with their comments on the draft?
I provided the comments that I was going to provide.
Oh, okay. So I'm the one with little picayune ones.
Okay. Would you guys like to make these comments as part of your formal motion? Or do you, I think that would be a good idea to endorse it with the comments or however you want to structure that.
Okay.
Or do you want to have deliberation first and then kind of talk about your comments and then kind of we can formulate a motion from that?
Yeah, why don't I go through them? I mean, some of them are just wording type things, and so I feel like it'd be better if I just sent them to you, but I can kind of...
And we can make note of those refinements here. I have my pen and paper, there's like, hey, this is spelled this way, or this could be phrased this way, we'll totally take those notes and we'll relay them to the team.
Okay. I might need to look. Oh, wait, I can pull it up on here. Hang on. The first comment is on page 4 in the Native American Habitants, and almost toward the bottom it says the name Chumash originally applied to only those persons living on Santa Rosa Island, blah blah blah. Actually, that's not correct, and I think that it actually came from the people on Santa Cruz Island, but there's better wording on the Santa Barbara Museum of Natural History website that says, oh, I didn't write it down.
I'm trying to locate the exact, there it is. The name Chumash originally applied only to those persons living on Santa, okay, so this portion right here.
Yeah, right okay. there. So what it says on the Museum of Natural History website is more, it refers to shell bead makers. Most of the shell bead makers, this is my comment now, were on Santa Cruz Island. So anyway, the wording that's on the Santa Barbara Museum of Natural History website is a little more general, but more accurate.
Okay, I will look at that website and get that language.
Yeah, great. And I can try to send you the link.
That'd be great, thank you.
Okay, and then the list of landmarks mentions the Sarah statue as being at 501 Poli, but it isn't there anymore.
You're right, we definitely need to revise that. Is that oh, there it is. Wait, where is the father statue? Thank you for catching that. That is currently at the mission.
And on page 22, let me find it. Where is the page? Oh, here we are. It talks about tribal resources. And I don't know if this is my own thing, but in my mind, there's only one federally recognized tribe, which is the one in Santa Ynez. The other groups are local bands and local individuals that have Chumash heritage. So referring to them as tribes to me seems not quite appropriate. So I think I would say something about where it says tribe, let's see, blah, blah, blah. I would say at the last sentence, additional study and collaboration with local Chumash groups and individuals are needed to identify and preserve cultural resources or related resources, something like that.
So we'll change tribal to cultural resources. In the second line of that, we'll add additional study and collaboration with local Chumash
groups and individuals.
Groups and individuals are needed to identify and preserve cultural resources.
You might want to say ethnographic, because cultural is broader.
Ethnographic resources in both locations?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that could apply to more groups than just the Chumash, actually. It could be Hispanic, Chinese, et cetera.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, page 23. Oh. Somewhere in this first goal, I think it's appropriate to say something about facilitating regular training of HPC members on professional historic preservation standards and guidelines, or standards and practices.
We have something similar to that, Vice Chair Houston, under goal HP4, specifically policy HP43, which speaks about generality with training and educational opportunities, training opportunities for city staff, the Historic Preservation Committee, decision makers, property owners. Would you like to expand within that existing policy?
Yes.
Okay.
This is more in the promotion vein, and I was more heading toward facilitating knowledge and understanding of professional standards and practices. Primarily for HPC, but it doesn't hurt for staff and public as well. So, I mean, it could go in either one.
So let's, expanding here within the context of educational opportunities for HP 4.3, can you repeat what you would like in addition to say as it pertains to the Historic Preservation Committee?
Well, what I had written down, but you can change it however you want. Facilitate regular training of HPC members on professional historic preservation standards and practices.
Professional historic preservation standards and practices.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
And then...
You wanted that up in one HP1 area rather than four?
It can go wherever.
Personally, I think it's better somewhere in number one, because that's basically talking about state and federal regulations. And that's more professional rather than informative, because there are certain things that you need in terms of meeting standards, understanding standards and guidelines, and I think it would be appropriate to have training that's specific in those processes and guidelines, as opposed to, I see public awareness and education, I see those as different levels of what we're talking about, that public awareness and education versus more the professional and the practitioner of it having a slightly different understanding.
Okay. That sounds great. I can move it to HP 1.1. Do you want me to, I see you have your hand up. Do you want to expand further, sir?
Possibly we might want to consider HP 1.5 talks about the Historic Preservation Committee and about maintaining a meeting regularly. Maybe we can expand that by including training being provided there in terms of getting up to date with the latest standards in the field of preservation and have some ongoing educational training. Might be more appropriate to fold it in with HP 1.5.
I'm seeing some heads nod. We can do that.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah.
Okay, do you want me to also include reference to the Secretary of Interior standards within that language?
You got that in HP 2.
But
and I think it's covered under professional historic preservation
okay.
standards and practices.
Perfect. Thank you. So I will include where my notes go. Facilitate regular training of HPC members of professional historic preservation standards and practices. We will include that as the final sentence for HP 1.5.
Great. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's really important because I think our current board acknowledges we all bring a separate little piece to the table that really encompasses the entire sort of process and things that could come up, and not knowing what new board members may come on, that this is sort of, I think, could be very informative for those that might not have some of the background that Ann has or Daniel has or myself or
no. I like that. I think that's a nice bifurcation of education and training to focus strictly on the subject matter expertise that the HPC would have in addition to other training educational regarding historic preservation for the general community that you can also echo as members and constituents. Perfect. Thank you.
Actually, that made me think that that's a requirement for to be or maintain your certified local government status, which we currently have. So it makes me wonder if we should have something in here about aspiring to continue to be a certified local government under the State Historic Preservation Act.
We could also look at incorporating that language within our context statement. That is also an implementation action.
Yeah.
So let me look at that language here, which is going to be HPA6 in the chart.
In the chart.
So implementation action. So I'm sorry, this is page 27.
Okay. I lost my page.
I think this is 27.
What's the HP what?
A6, I think.
Which one?
Oh. So as part of when we adopt that historic citywide survey, it's going to have a context statement that sets the stage for it, and that would be a great place to include that feedback.
Okay.
So would you mind repeating what your verbiage, just so I can include it in the language of HP-A6? Or if you want to just spitball a bit, we can finesse the language with our consultant.
You want to help me?
You had to aspire.
Yeah, I know. Well, we are currently in a certified local government under the National Historic Preservation Act through the State Office of Historic Preservation. So we would like to maintain that status.
Okay.
Through following the requirements of it.
Would that be education?
Yeah, that which...
I will provide that all this feedback, of course, but in particular with that one, if our consultant feels that language would be stronger elsewhere, we'll relay that to you in an update.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, HP22. How do I, let's see, maybe this can get me back to where I was. No. This is the wrong one. Okay, HP22, I said include the Mills Act.
We've added that to the end of HP 2.2. So it will read application fees for designated and potentially reduced application fees for designated or potentially dedicated historic properties, including Mills Act.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm trying to find my thing again. HP 2.7 on page 24. Okay.
Red.
Whoops.
No, that's fine.
Promote adaptive reuse to encourage the conversion of underutilized historic buildings into new housing or other, add the word, compatible uses.
Okay.
Good grab. Okay, 2.8. I think at the end, because we do have other historic districts besides the downtown one, and they do have some design guidelines, at least for some of them, and they're pretty outdated. So I would say, or add at the end, update the design guidelines for other designated historic districts.
Okay, we've added that sentence to the end of HP 2.8. Update design guidelines for other designated historic districts.
Yes. Okay, HP 4.2.
The same comment?
This tribal thing again.
Okay, so
ethnographic.
Ethnographic, okay.
And work with local Chumash groups and individuals.
All right.
Okay.
I might have a comment on HP 3.5. We talk about archaeological assessments for new construction projects located within the coastal zone or other areas where cultural resources are likely to be located. Maybe we should include not just new construction, but proposed modifications or additions or things of that nature, not just in the coastal zone, but elsewhere in the city.
We could maybe new construction or projects involving earthwork.
Ground disturbance.
Ground disturbance.
Ground disturbance, yeah, that'd be good.
No, that's good. Okay, HP 4.6.
And also, just for the benefit of the discussion, it's a standard condition, just so we're going to include that for sure. But just for the benefit of the order, there is a standard condition with all construction that if anything is found in the field that could be potentially significant, construction halts, consultants are brought on board, regardless of the zone. So just wanted to throw that out there, that with potential archaeological discovery citywide, and frankly, I think statewide, there is that requirement. But this helps us have an extra preview of what could be there so we could potentially avoid disturbing those important resources, which are primarily in the downtown and coastal area. Does everybody love the beach, even the Chumash?
Yeah. Because I was going to say, who primarily makes that call? Because, I mean, do you have an archaeological monitor minimally on every project? And we haven't, or have we? Do we have sensitivity for cultural archaeological resources that overlays the city so that you know that if you're working, I mean, we it's kind of a no-brainer down by the mission and that area, but other particular areas, because who makes that call on whether or not you find something significant?
So it depends on the magnitude of the project if we have an actual archaeological phase one study that is done.
Okay.
For example, the large site adjacent to the fairgrounds by the promenade that is vacant and has been vacant for a very long time and was overflow parking, that, you know, within the planning stages of that project, which is potentially going to be a hotel, we've required them to do extensive archaeological analysis very early on.
Okay.
So it depends on the size, the location, but we do have somewhat of a, you know, within our GIS indications within prior surveys that have been looked at through prior reports, potential significant, you know, potential archaeological resources in this location or soils that potentially could harbor such, you know. So we do have an indication based on prior records and data that gives staff that heads up, like something else may be here, and then depending on the scale and what the project is involving may require some additional studies ahead of even project entitlement.
Okay, thank you for mm-hmm. that explanation. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
HP 4.6, I thought it'd be useful to include the Parks and Rec people in that too.
Thank you. We have them reviewing other elements, and the arts and culture element has a lot of overlap with
yeah.
our historic preservation element. So there's that consistency there with those two documents. They speak to each other for
good.
Sure.
Good.
But we'll highlight, arts, and maybe we can expand. And the Arts and Culture Commission within the Parks and Rec Department. So we have them in the action itself?
Oh, okay.
Does that sound good?
Sure.
Okay.
There's a Parks and Rec Commission.
It is, but do you want to add?
Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah, I mean, of them separately because, I mean, you've got a living history, Chumash Village, and I know in CARP they have a park that has a little Chumash
That's
playground
a great idea.
In it.
Yeah, let's add the Parks and Rec Commission.
Yeah.
And Parks and Recreation Department oversees both of those commissions.
Perfect.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. And then where did I have that? 4.7. Okay. I don't think I wanted to do that. 4.8, and this might fit elsewhere. The National Trust has a Main Street program, and I think that was mentioned in the 2021, whatever, 22 comments by somebody. And I think adding something about that for downtown and midtown would be useful because it's a good program. It doesn't have to be under the National Trust rubric. I know that there are towns that do it on their own, but they're the ones who started it and provided a model program.
So
it's meant for economic development,
mm-hmm.
To draw attention to get property owners and businesses to work together,
mm-hmm.
to preserve their historic buildings, and use that to draw both tourists and economic development to an area.
So help me with the language that you think will underscore that.
Oops. something like...
So promote the Mills Act Historical Property Contract Program, comma, are we thinking, I was looking at the Main Street Commercial Historic or Potential Main Street Historic District. Is that what maybe we were thinking of?
Yeah, you've got Mills Act, blah, 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 and to provide guidance. To encourage, you might put a period after historic building stock and then make provide guidance on appropriate rehabilitation plans. I think I'd change the rest of the sentence, make it a separate sentence and say something about providing guidance on rehabilitation standards. Providing information on historic preservation standards to property owners. And cities have done that in different ways with websites, guidance books. And one of the things I had that I was thinking would go in HP 1, but I think it's more appropriate down here, is having a website that has, hopefully you don't already have this, and I'd be embarrassed that I haven't ever seen it, that has the surveys, the historic context, information about the Mills Act, the Secretary standards, and all of the ordinances that relate to historic preservation. And so that would...
So I have an idea.
Yeah.
So as an aside, we are actively currently working on a historic page for our city website. In fact, I got an email about it today. Our comms division, our communications division, is working one to set the stage for exactly what you said. Here's our survey. Here's information about the Mills Act. Here's how to get more information about planning and getting your Mills Act and other resources.
Great.
So maybe with this language we can do, acknowledging that there may be more programs currently or in the future that talk about economic incentives, we can do provide guidance on appropriate rehabilitation standards, plans, other components of the program, as well as additional programs or that to help, you know, something like that, like at the end, like kind of a catch-all for additional opportunities that may come online too, not just as of today.
Well, I think I kind of changed the subject on what I first was getting to. So I think my sentence on the Main Street program would be encourage consideration of a Main Street program for areas of the city such as downtown and midtown.
Okay, that's perfect. Let's do that. So, so we can go... City's historic building stock, and we'll leave this the sentence stet, so we'll leave it as is, but at the end we're adding, consider the implementation of an equivalent program.
I would say Main Street program. Capital letters, it's an official thing.
Of a Main Street and Midtown program?
No, a Main Street program.
Okay.
For, what did I say? Areas such as Main Street and Midtown. Or areas such as downtown and Midtown, yeah.
Okay.
Encourage.
So at the end of that sentence, so it will read, promote the Mills Act Historical Property Contract Program to owners of designated historic landmarks to encourage investment in the city's historic building stock and to provide guidance on appropriate rehabilitation standards, plans, and other components of the program. Consider the implementation of a Main Street program for areas such as downtown and midtown.
Yes, and if you want to clarify, you could say National Trust for Historic Preservation Main Street Program.
Oh, great. National Trust of...
For Historic Preservation.
For Historic Preservation Program. Okay, perfect.
On the web page or the area that you're doing that would have the general plan and all of this stuff that's related primarily to cultural historical resources, will you be having links such as to like the National Park Service's technical bulletin set that they have that goes, you know, for rehabilitation, reuse?
Oh, absolutely. Sort of yeah. And what
the
we can do,
office.
Yeah, what we can do, Member Stratton, is when that website goes live, maybe we can have an item before HPC that takes a look at it, and you can help us identify additional resources, links, or materials that could be on there to further embolden that website, because that also goes in line with our education and training implementation action of the historic elements. So we could definitely have a working discussion on what that looks like.
That'd be excellent.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about websites is you can change them very,
yeah.
very. In fact, it serves to change them and keep them fresh. So that's a great idea. Thank you.
Do you think that we would have the ability to provide further comments? Let's say we have a thought that comes to mind after this meeting and we want to transmit it to you. Would
Absolutely.
We have the ability to do that?
Yeah, most definitely.
And would there be a required time frame for which we would make those comments to you?
It would be ideal to have them within that document time frame that Director Diamond was mentioning. You know, there will be a good chunk of time coming up, probably as much as 2 months, if not a little bit more, to overlap with that environmental document public
okay.
review time frame. So there is definitely that opportunity. Until the document's adopted in the fall, there can be some tweaks here and there just to make sure we get it absolutely right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had one more. In the implementation actions, HPA7, which is on page 27.
Got it.
I think I'd call that ethnographic resources again.
Got it. Perfect.
And say coordinate with local Native American and other underrepresented groups to include their history.
So that amendment was to HPA7, changing tribal and cultural to ethnographic resources with a new sentence at the end, coordinate with local Native American groups and other underrepresented groups.
Yeah, or just coordinate with local
Native American and other
underrepresented groups.
Perfect, thank you.
Just change the beginning of it. And.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes.
Yeah, I guess under A8, somewhere is, because we talked about this as being one of our goals for hopefully this year, is updating the Mills Act guidance, mainly for ourselves. And so it should be in there somewhere as an implementation.
I think that will be coming with the historic preservation ordinance. That's when we can really get into the details with that. Because I agree, we need to update that information for the Mills Act. I think we're using the same trifold brochure from the 90s. It needs a little facelift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard for us to determine what actions that they're proposing to do to preserve their buildings are appropriate to be under the Mills Act, funded under, I mean, whether they're considered just maintenance or, you know, regular maintenance, or if they're actual capital things. So it's unclear to us when we're looking at these Mills Act applications, or maybe I should say us, maybe I should say me.
I agree, because I think I'm the one who brought up the original proposal to update the Mills Act and to find some more specific guidance that would help anybody sitting here. And also, it would assist whoever came before us on things that would be appropriate or more appropriate or really not necessarily appropriate for maintaining or rehabbing portions of their historic property.
I'm wondering if we can look at
And, when we were talking about the Mills Act, it was basically to provide guidance. It's not mm-hmm. that these are, you have to do this, you have to do that, you can't do this. It was, when considering the Mills Act in your property, you might want to look at X, Y, and Z or think about this or whatever.
So do we think that we want a new implementation action, or would you like to expand one of the existing actions? I'm just trying to see if there's one that could be, or maybe within under A1, it won't happen as quickly as.
Oh no.
Oh no.
I'll find it.
Oh,
I know.
What about in HP 810? Maybe that's a good place to historic resource guidelines summary and Mills Act information.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So we'll add Historic Resource Guidelines Summary and Mills Act Information as the bold title. And then the policy currently reads, or the action currently reads, create a set of guidelines and or policies as a resource for staff, private property owners, developers, and the public regarding city requirements for the treatment of historic resources and Mills Act designations that will be readily available at the counter. And just know that readily and online.
Yeah. Or just, yeah.
How about designation and treatment?
And treatment?
Designation and treatment of historic.
Oh.
Unless their designation is under here somewhere else.
Or the designation, okay. And treatment of historic resources.
Including the Mills Act, or as well as the
Mills Act designations that will be readily available at the counter and online.
Perfect.
Look at that, we did it. All right, I love that, thank you.
I was trying to find, there were some typos, just a couple.
Okay.
I think it.
I love to catch a typo, so thank you.
It was somebody got tired.
I know.
Oh, here it is. Okay, page 13.
With the redevelop.
Yeah. The
left column starts with freeway, the paragraph.
Got it?
Freeway construction, fourth line. At the end, it should be redevelopment.
Perfect, thank you.
And then somewhere on. On the other side, it says development, and it should be develop.
Oh, I see it. On previously development land should be on previously developed land. That's under Ventura Today, halfway down.
Yep.
Got it.
Sorry.
You're fine.
I was looking at something else.
Any other typos or?
Nope. I mean, not that I noticed.
Okay.
And that's it for me.
Thank you, Vice Chair Houston.
So what would you like us to do?
Well, Member Stratton or Member Euler, do you have other comments to include?
I don't at this time.
Okay.
I don't have any comments at this time. Maybe later.
Okay.
So should we make a motion to...
Go ahead, clerk.
To do something.
Yes, I think we should make a motion. We could make a motion to include all the comments that we've taken notes on, and then we can recite those in the minutes. So I think just making a formal motion in a second to endorse the historic element of the general plan with the following comments, and then please note comments made through deliberation, something like of that.
And what we can do too.
I second.
And I was going to say, what we can do is maybe provide a red line version that's attached to your next set of minutes, so that helps our clerk, and that way you can see where it's at, and that way we can just ensure that for your minutes we've captured everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea.
Okay. So, you want to make a motion?
And what are we motioning on?
That we're endorsing the.
I make a motion that we're endorsing the
historic draft.
The draft historic preservation, we call it plan, chapter
element.
One.
Element.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it. And to also include or acknowledge the comments that we provided during our deliberation as part of that. And in addition, getting a red line copy attached to our minutes for our next meeting review.
Perfect. Thank you.
I would second that.
Okay, just for the record, Member Thomas is absent as well as Chair Soriano, so Member Euler?
Yes.
Member Stratton?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Houston?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much for your feedback. That was great.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate you took the time to read through. And for our member of the public here as well.
That's what I do.
One quick announcement. I'm so sorry.
Oh. I lost my... that's the end of our formal deliberations, I guess. So I'll close this portion of the meeting. And do we have any comments from... or announcements from...
The next would be the committee communication, and then we'll move on to staff communication.
Okay. Do we have any committee communications?
No, not I.
No.
Daniel, you can tell us that you're going to the
conference. Oh, that's true. I will be attending the State Preservation Conference May 6th to 10th in Sacramento. And I look forward to that and bringing back a lot of good ideas which we can hopefully use on this committee to make us even better than we are.
I have two questions. Actually, I pulled up the Historic Preservation Committee page when I was trying to find my way back to the element. And I know that there's going to be a vacancy when Elizabeth goes off. And it has Susan and me both listed as demonstrated interest people, but we both also are professionals in the disciplines, which would allow whoever applies for the opening to be a demonstrated interest, a community member without, because I think you require two professionals.
There's a makeup within the HPC. I can't recall, but there's a certain number, so we'll need to make sure your titles are accurately reflected on the website when we go out for the recruitment to ensure we have those parties represented.
Yeah, they've got Elizabeth as a professional, so if you were trying to replace like for like, then it would ask for that.
And Elizabeth is the demonstrated interest?
She is.
Okay.
We're listed as Yeah, Daniel and Noah are listed as professionals as well, but actually all of us are.
Got it.
If that helps to recruit, that's the reason I mentioned it.
Thank you. We'll make that refinement.
Okay. And my other question is, I see that you all are offering coffee with a community development
person
in different areas. So what's the schedule for that?
The next one is going to be May 23rd, and it will be at the Cafe Facile on Main Street. That's the smaller one that's right across from Ventura High School. Mm-hmm. So we're doing them every other month on a Friday, a working Friday, and we are going to all of our neighborhoods trying to do local coffee shops. So we've done West Side, Downtown, this will be our Midtown, and then we're doing one Pierpont, East Side, College area, and I forget there's a fourth, no, I think there's a fourth one. I can't recall off the top of my head that we're still going to, but yeah, it's exciting. It's fun. So we're there about 8 to 9:30. It's typically myself and a couple other reps from our department, our building official, code enforcement. I think at the May one, our planning manager is going to be there, housing services manager. And it's about an opportunity to really get out into the community, have anyone come with questions, concerns, just want to learn more information, or about connecting them to resources, even outside of the city or out of the community development department, you know, where informing people who to contact at Public Works or sharing their new Ventura Connects phone app to report potholes. We're just trying to get more into the community to save you the trip to City Hall. So we look forward to seeing you there.
Are you getting good feedback and attendance?
Yeah, actually our first one at Lovewell on the Ventura Avenue, I think we had probably about 45 people.
Wow.
Probably about as many as 20 at one time. The downtown Palermo one we just had, probably about 10 people at one time, but I would say maybe 20 overall. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we give the coffee shop a heads up we're coming so they can staff accordingly and make sure we have a place where we're not bothering their normal operations.
Mm-hmm. I think this is excellent. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you for that feedback. That's awesome. Hopefully we'll see you at the Midtown one. May 23rd?
Or college area. It might be.
Or the college area. That one's going to be, what's the college area one? I'll get back to you. I think that might be our Starbucks one off day, but we'll make sure there's a big communications push for those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any, are we done with our communications? Do we have any staff communications?
We do. We are canceling our May 8th HPC meeting. We don't have any items for that. And also we're going to be absent a member. We are anticipating bringing back phase two of the citywide historic survey at your July meeting. And then June meeting, thank you. And then July, we will have HRG come and look at the overall citywide survey. I understand that was a request of HPC. And then thereafter, the city survey will go to City Council.
Great. Anything else?
None for me. Oh, thank you. That concludes my comments. Okay. Director Diamond? Okay. Nope. We're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then I declare that this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
I thought this would be short.